Well, folks, the war on cops has reached a fever pitch. And so on today's Hot Zone, we're going to talk about it with three different cops and different walks of life, different experiences. That's coming up right now.
This is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, I'm Chuck Holton. Thanks for watching Hot Zone, and thank you to all of our new patrons. We're getting quite a few of those that are supporting the podcast. You can do that for as little as $3 a month. Just buy me a cup of coffee and keep this thing going. Today we have a very special Hot Zone. And as a matter of fact, this is going to end up being several Hot Zone episodes, I believe, because there's no way we can get through this in less than 15 minutes. Today I have a kind of a roundtable discussion with three important people that are all former police officers. One is the Honorable Congressman Clay Higgins. He's the Cajun John Wayne, who is a cop, a street cop in Louisiana.
On Wednesday night, July the 8th, Stelly's Market and Restaurant on Highway 71 was broken into and burglarized.
For many years, SWAT cop, everything else. I'll let him tell you a little bit more about his background. My good friend for a long time, my old friend, I'll let you take that how you like, Tim Miller, former Secret Service agent, a cop from Fairfax County, I believe, Virginia.
Part of my career has been spent focused on the terrorist threat, and obviously a lot of agents across the country were all consumed after 9/11 with terrorism. And when you begin to explore the mindset, the focus, the absolute determination to, yeah, you may have gotten me this time, but I'm coming back. It struck in me a realization that, wait a minute, this is not a limited war where it goes away and everything goes back to a peaceful status. These folks are determined.
And another good friend, Diana Mueller.
My goal here is to educate people. We are law-abiding, responsible gun owners, and please don't legislate the 150 million people just like me into being criminals. Like, it has happened. You've already done it. The legislation on bump stocks, I was a bump stock owner, and I had to make a decision. Do I become a felon, or do I comply? And like that gentleman that just got escorted out, I will not comply.
Who I met at SHOT Show, and we made a habit of going to dinner together. She took her husband along as well.
And you took Connie.
That's right. So thank you very much, all three of you, for being on with us today. Let me start with Diana. Would you just give me a quick background of your experience as a cop?
Sure. I was at the Tulsa Police Department. Yes, I know Styx. Unfortunately, they just canceled Live PD, but I worked with him. He actually rode along with my squad before he was a police officer. So we saw him grow up and all the way through the ranks. We're really proud of what he's done on Live PD. And sadly, this cancel culture has reached the law enforcement community, and now they're canceling Live PD and all the other things that show. You know, basically, I don't know. Are they scared of what the transparency, and they can't handle that the police are doing good stuff and that the citizens are looking bad? I don't know, but it's sick. And then the Paw Patrol. Anyway, I digress. That's why we're here talking about this stuff today. But I was with them for 22 years before I retired in 2014 to pursue a career as a professional shooter. So, and I also started the DC Project, which is women from every state, women for gun rights, basically the anti-red shirts. And I love my police career. I had 22 years, and anything from gangs, street crimes, foot beat, narcotics, I always enjoyed being in the middle of it.
Fantastic. Let's go to Congressman Higgins. Tell me just the short version of your career as a cop. Why did you get into being a police officer, and how did you get out of it?
Well, Chuck, I was in the Army. I was a military police officer, and I served honorably for 6 years. So that was the origins of my law enforcement background. And then many years later, after successfully navigating the business realm, however, succumbing to the loss of spiritual significance within the eyes of our Savior. In other words, I fell victim to the pursuit and the lust for money. I longed for a return to a meaning in my life, and from deep within me, that meant returning to uniform service. And I was not able to get back into the Army for some medical reasons, but I was able to become a police officer. So I left money. I was making big money. I was a successful and ruthless businessman, which was part of, you know, the deterioration of my spirit. And I knew I had to rebuild my life from a spiritual foundation in order to become the child of God that our Lord needed me to be. And that's when I became a full-time cop in 2004. And I served as a police officer, a SWAT cop patrol for 12 years. And I brought my maturity and my spiritual journey and my constitutionalist core principles to the street. It was a very successful formula. Yeah, I'm a compassionate but disciplined man, and I rose to the ranks and as a police officer in South Louisiana, and my career became rather storied in the final year of service behind a badge full time, because my sheriff asked me to be his public information officer. And part of that job included performing a weekly public service announcement. And those public service announcements began a viral appearance on the internet, and that ultimately led to my leaving law enforcement full time and pursuing what I believed the Lord to be the illuminated path of serving my nation in Congress. So that's how I came to be punished as a congressman by God, you know. I used to have a good life, man. I was a cop, I was home at night, and half the country didn't hate me. And here I am, the same guy, and yet I serve in the capacity that the Lord sees fit, and I shall continue to do so. But I'm still a cop. I'm still post-certified. I've never lost my post-certification. I go through my recertifications every year on my own time. So I'm still behind a badge. I'm still a commissioned, certified peace officer in the state of Louisiana. However, I serve full-time as a congressional representative for Louisiana's 3rd District.
Yeah, and you were kind of a victim of the cancel culture as well, because if I remember right, there was one video you made that the ACLU took issue with, and that led to your superiors sort of throwing you under the bus. Is that accurate?
Yes. There's a lot that's unspoken and unknown about that, out of my respect for chain of command and my humble posture to not injure the department that I once served. But the bottom line is that I performed a job that my sheriff and the U.S. Marshals and the Louisiana State Police asked me to do. And it drew the attention of national organizations that were completely wrong with their attacks against me personally and against our department. And my sheriff asked me to do some things that I was not willing to do because it was contrary to my core principles and my confidence that I had done the right thing. And I stated the truth throughout this entire event. So I had to resign. I was not forced to resign. I was not fired. But in order to maintain my principles, I had to sacrifice my career at that point. And that's what I did. You know, it was an easy choice. However, it was a hard thing because my wife and I were humble folk. You know, we lived in a single wide trailer in South Louisiana, and our home was filled with love and laughter, but we had no money. You know, I had no money. I had no political aspirations. It wasn't on the radar at all. But yes, sir, one of my videos, commonly referred to as the Gremlins video, where we successfully initiated the tracking and capturing of 17 hyper-violent gang members from South Louisiana. I couldn't help it that they were all black, you know, and I'm white. I make no apologies for being white, nor should they make apologies for being black. They just happened to be criminals, and I was a cop that was after them. We had warrants for their arrest. They were hyper-violent. They had committed many, many capital crimes, and my video led to the ultimate capture of the entire gang. So
it didn't matter that the
serving in Congress. You know, that's right. How that happened. Yes, sir.
Yeah, it didn't matter that the video you made, you were joined in that video by over a dozen black leaders of the community in solidarity with what you were saying. They still believe that what you said was racist. So, but that's the way it goes. Okay, well, let's move on to Tim Miller. And Tim, just give us an overview. You've got, the longest resume on the planet. So keep it short, but tell us a little bit about...
Some would say I can't keep a job.
Because you can't keep a job. Go for it.
Congressman Diana, thank you. It's an honor to be on the panel with you. Thank you for your service. And I mean that. I came out of college. I was a Marine officer. Came on active duty for about 6 years. Traveled largely doing Marine Security Force responsibilities. And then I stayed another 20. I couldn't get enough. Doing counterintelligence. I would deploy with Marines wherever they went, force protection and counterintelligence. And then parallel to that, I was a police officer for about 3.5-4 years in Fairfax County, Virginia. Started my law enforcement career, had a variety of assignments. I was honored to work. And then I stepped into federal law enforcement, Secret Service, Homeland Security. And then I wrapped up as a director of training. And now I do security consulting and training. And if there's ever a time where people need to think about security, it's now, isn't it? Because things are going crazy. But Chuck, thanks for having me on.
Things are going crazy. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this. First, from a, let's go to back to Diana. You worked as a beat cop, and you still know a lot of cops on the street. What is the sentiment that you are hearing now from cops as they see the things that are happening all over this country and the talks of defunding the police and abolishing the police?
Well, you can imagine that morale is at the lowest point that I've ever even thought about being. The things that you're seeing happen so quickly is just like, it's just amazing to see from, you know, 3 months ago that all is calm, and then now every police officer is under fire from a large segment of our society, to the point where, you know, they hate us, they want to kill us, and it's pretty sad, and I think it's pretty understandable, especially if you look at police officers as an extension of our community. You know, they're human, and they will make mistakes, and I feel like some of the protests, they're never going to be happy. I mean, we crucified Jesus Christ, the only sinless man on the face of the earth. He got crucified. So I look at, you know, police officers, I look at us as being Christians, and I'm like, I don't expect anything more fair, but I can't tell the protesters that it does suck. I believe in your right to speak, but for it to become it's almost a part-time pastime hobby now. It's like cool to protest, and you know, they keep moving the goalpost. When is enough enough? We've lost what, 38 cops in the past 50 days. You know, do you want blood for blood? Do you want, what is it that they're after? Because I really think that what they're after is something that's unattainable, and that's sin, you know, erasing sin from a human's heart.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.